Okay, let me begin, and let me begin here with some psukim in the Torah, which look like they are describing a law that applied in the desert and doesn't apply at all to us today. Now, if you look at your screen, you'll see psukim in Bamidbar that God basically said to Moshe to make two silver trumpets, and the purpose of the silver trumpets is to gather the Jewish people. Or to gather the princes of the Jewish people, or to signal that the camp was supposed to travel, looks at first glance that this is a desert-related mitzvah, a commandment that applied when the Jewish people were in the desert, and doesn't apply anymore today. Can anyone think of another example of a mitzvah that was a desert-related mitzvah, and it applied to the Jews when they were in the desert, and doesn't apply anymore today? So it's not really of interest to us, and it wouldn't appear in any legal code or anything like that. Okay, so the whole building of the Mishkan did apply then, didn't apply today. Laws about each tribe having a flag, we read about recently in the Torah. Laws about every tribe having their own place to live in. There are so many laws that apply only in the temple times, or only in the desert times. So the fact that Moses made trumpets to call the nation, is not particularly interesting. And then at the tail end, it says, and I bolded it on the sheet, that this should be chukat olam, that trumpeting the silver trumpets is something that doesn't apply for part of the Jewish time, it applies for all of Jewish time. And we end with two occasions where it might apply for even when the Jewish people are not in the desert. V'chitavo during a war, you blow the trumpets. And lastly, uv'yom on holidays in Rosh Chodesh, you also blow the trumpets upon the sacrifices. So at the end, it sounds like there is a command to blow trumpets on two separate occasions. I'll explain the easy one, and then maybe somebody else will be able to explain the difficult one. The easy one is trumpeting on a holiday, because I guess what it's telling us that in the temple, when you want to celebrate a holiday, you blow a trumpet. How do you understand this idea that during a war you blow a trumpet? Why would you participate, and how is blowing a trumpet participating in a war? So you're understanding this as a sort of it's not like a downer mitzvah, it's like a positive mitzvah. It gets everybody in a good mood that we have musical instruments even when we're fighting a war. Yeah, it's also possible, right? It's also possible that it's to ca call the soldiers together, and that's a very important point because if the law is just to blow the trumpets on a battlefield, then it wouldn't apply because we don't have, an army, or maybe it would apply in the Israeli army, but it wouldn't apply for any of us because there's an idea of trumpeting when you go to war. Okay, so it says, "V'nizkartem lifnei Hashem Elokeichem," that by blowing the trumpet, God will remember you. And why this is important, I know we're headed to talk about the laws of fasts in the Rambam. Why this is important is that the only way to see anything here about fasting is to say that you're trumpeting in a war to be remembered before God, And we could try to build a case that there is a commandment here about somehow causing ourselves to be remembered before God. But I think we can all agree that at this juncture, having read the verses, it is very hard to figure out how these verses in Parshat Bamidbar and Parshat Balotcha will get us towards blowing a trumpet in the fast day. They seem to have nothing in common. One is about going to war, focused on a temple. Maybe it only applies when we have a Jewish kingdom in Israel. And you don't see anything here about fast days. Okay, so these were the biblical verses. Anyone have any questions here about the biblical verses? So that's very interesting. So maybe actually this still applies today. And we would explain it that when you have an Israeli army, which we have today, and that Israeli army is going to war, which sometimes happens today, then the leader of the community has a mitzvah to blow a trumpet as part of the system of the Jewish people going to war. And there are a lot of laws related to going to war. The Rambam has a few chapters all related to what it means when the Jews go to war. And that's what this would be describing. When you go to war, you blow the trumpet. Okay, up until now was the Chumash. Whenever I'm learning a topic, I always try to look at the Navi and the Ketuvim. And when I look at the Navi and the Ketuvim, you actually won't find that many examples of the blowing of trumpets when the Jewish people go to war. But you actually find numerous times in Divrei Hayamim that the chatzotrot, the trumpets, were blown in the Beit HaMikdash as part of temple service. So, you know, if I had to figure out what the mitzvah that is being described here is, I would say the Torah has given us a mitzvah to blow a trumpet in the temple on various circumstances. And in fact, the psukim are so focused on the temple. You know, it's about when the temple is traveling. It's about when the Mishkan, you know, when the Jewish people are gathering towards the gate of the Mishkan. And this is a temple law. In a temple, you do all sorts of various things. And in the temple, you blow trumpets on various occasions. Okay, this is how I would like to end the shiur. And everyone will go home. Because the Mishnah in Arachin says a whole set of laws about blowing the trumpets, how many trumpets, you need a minimum of two trumpets, you can have more trumpets, the people have to stand on the ground while they're blowing the trumpets, there are certain days you blow the trumpets, there's a mitzvah to blow trumpets on holidays, and Rabbi Moshe of Kutzi, who wrote his book of mitzvot in 1244, says there is a mitzvah to blow trumpets on holidays in the temple. And then everybody can go home and say that we wasted an entire class and we learned nothing about our topic at hand. The only thing that we learned is that in the temple, there's a mitzvah to blow trumpets and, shalom for Klal Yisrael, everybody will be happy. Okay, this is a class on the Rambam, and the Rambam is very, very fishy here. And what I hope to do in the next few minutes is lay out why and how the Rambam is fishy, and maybe somebody will be able to explain why the Rambam chose to be fishy, because I don't really have a great answer myself. The Rambam, when he discusses the laws of trumpeting, the Rambam writes, and this is towards the bottom of the sheet here, "Bimei Amudot Kulam, on the holidays, uVerosh Chodesh, and on Rosh Chodesh, Hayu HaKohanim Tokim B'Chatzotrot B'Shat HaKorban, the priests would blow the trumpets, V'Leviim Omdim Shira, and the Leviim would sing, Shneamar, as it says, quoting our verse, B'Yom Simchem Moadechem, everybody blows the trumpets." There is one word that is missing from the Rambam here, and it's the fact that it's not here is incredibly striking. The Rambam was such a master of grammar and language that you don't even notice the word that's missing here until you read it a few times and you realize that the word is missing. The word that's missing is mitzvah. The Rambam often will say, on a certain day, there is a mitzvah to blow the trumpets. Why did the Rambam not say there's a mitzvah to blow trumpets? The Rambam says there's a mitzvah to eat matzah. The Rambam says there's a mitzvah to eat marah. The Rambam says there's a mitzvah to give charity. He didn't say there was a mitzvah to blow trumpets. He said, Hayu, the priest, happened to have blown the trumpets. Why the changed language? Now, the Rambam wrote a book of mitzvot, and here's where everything falls apart. He begins by saying, there is a mitzvah to blow the trumpets in the temple. Who should sivanu litkoa b'chatzotzot b'mikdash ima karvata korban mikorbanei ha-moadot. There's a mitzvah to blow the trumpets in the temple on a holiday. And he quotes the verse. And it's explained in the Talmud in all various places. And then he says, V'chein, and also, Anu mitzuvim litzkoa b'chatzotzrot. There is another mitzvah to blow trumpets. Bitot hatzorech v'hatzarot. At difficult times, k'shenizak litnei Hashem italeh, whenever we pray to God. The Rambam made up a mitzvah, and not only did he make up a mitzvah, but he made up a mitzvah and he tucked it in as part of a different mitzvah that it has nothing to do with. I challenge you, where in the Torah did it say that there is a mitzvah to blow trumpets in difficult times? Where did it say that? Okay, it said when you go to war, you have to blow a trumpet. What gave the Rambam the right to expand the trumpets of war to other cases? And that's the other problem. The Rambam seems to be embarrassed by counting this in the 613 because he counts one mitzvah to blow trumpets in holidays. Oh, yes, and also in difficult times. How is that one mitzvah? Yeah, Michael, we'll come back to that. The Rambam knows this point, but we'll see when the Rambam addresses it himself later. We'll get to that later. Okay. But going back to this point, normally, you're supposed to count separate mitzvot if you have separate verses asking you to do separate things. So you're not supposed to do work on Shabbos, and you're not supposed to do work on Yom Kippur, but those two separate mitzvot, because they're two separate days in which you're not allowed to do work. So maybe we could accept the Rambam counting two mitzvot, one mitzvah to blow trumpets on holidays, and one mitzvah to blow trumpets on difficult times. But the Rambam has he's contorted the verse to create a combined mitzvah to blow trumpets on holidays and when everything is falling apart. I mean, to go back to the point we made before, there's such a difference between the happy blowing of the shofar in a holiday. I don't know what tune they would play. Maybe they would play, it'd be a happy tune on the holidays, versus the trumpet of a fast day, of a difficult time, is likely to be a much more mournful song. And the Rambam puts them together. I am totally. I can't explain what the Rambam is doing. I mean, it's true, and Rabbi Tursky, would often say. So, it's a valid point, and sometimes with counting of mitzvot, you say, "Listen, I had no choice. Where? How else was I going to count it?" But this one seems to me to be particularly egregious. This isn't like taking. There are like five different laws of things that you're not allowed to take as a collateral. Well, should those things be one mitzvah or two? And this is particularly egregious in that the trumpeting of a festive holiday is so different from the trumpeting of a difficult time, and to lump them into one mitzvah would seem to be, an impossibility. Okay. Now, you may be confused, but this gets worse, and not only does it get a little bit worse, it gets a lot worse. I'm very sorry that we're starting with such a challenging topic here. It gets a lot worse because the Rambam's Book of Mitzvot was written in Arabic, and I always make it my business when I'm quoting from the Book of Mitzvot to look at the Arabic translation. And we have some scholars in our shiur this evening who are scholars of Rav Kapach, who did the translation. And I'm going to stop the screen share for a second just so I can show you the volume that I used here. So that's the Rav Kapach translation. And he points out that we actually have the translation wrong. Here's the Arabic translation and what the Arabic really said. The Rambam said in Arabic, and I don't speak Arabic, so you can correct me if this is wrong, but the Rambam says in Arabic, Lana mamurin mitzrav al chatzotzrot, which, according to both Rav Kapach, who wrote a new translation in the 20th century, and also in one of the more ancient translations of the Rambam, the Ibn Iyuv translation, the Rambam says lefi she'anu mitzuvim l'tkoa b'chatzotzrot. Now, the word lefi makes very little sense. The word lefi means because. So, according to what the Rambam actually said in Arabic, the Rambam said, we have to blow shofar on holidays because we are required to blow shofar in difficult times. In the short Book of Mitzvot, the Rambam also more drastically fuses them together. Litkoa b'chatzotzrot ala korbanot uv'shaar tzaraot, to blow trumpets on sacrifices and at difficult times, which is just such a weird amalgamation of the two. The Rambam wrote the Book of Mitzvot when he was younger. He actually writes the Mishneh Torah when he's older. And when he writes Mishneh Torah, he seems to have forgotten about trumpeting on the sacrifices at all, and actually forgot about trumpeting. This mitzvah, which looks like the mitzvah to trumpet, in the heading to the laws of fast, turned into mitzvah aseh achad. It's like a transmutation of a mitzvah. There is one mitzvah, v'lizok lifnei Hashem. The mitzvah is to cry to God. Whenever difficult things happen to the people. What? We started with a mitzvah to trumpet on holidays, which has now become a mitzvah to cry before God in difficult times. I cannot explain this to you. And Jews have tried to explain this for a very long time. How did he just change his mind when he got older? How did the Rambam start off, much like Rabbi Moshe of Kutzi, with the idea that there was a mitzvah to trumpet on holidays? And how did that turn into a mitzvah to daven in difficult times? I have no answer to this question. Okay, now, so it's possible that we've replaced trumpeting with prayer, but the verses in the Bible said trumpet. So there would be a reluctance in my mind to say that God told us to trumpet, and now we still shake the lulav and esrog as we always did, and we haven't replaced it with something else because the Torah said to shake a lulav and esrog. In general, when the Torah is explicit about how we're supposed to do a mitzvah, we don't usually change it as time goes on. But Stephen has raised another important point, which is, why is this any different from the mitzvah of prayer? Because the Rambam counted a mitzvah to pray. How is this different from the regular mitzvah to pray? So I think Psalm 150 is a great thing to quote, because Psalm 150 illustrates the use of musical instruments in the temple. But Psalm 150 to me was always so festive. It's so musical. Blow a shofar, blow the nevel, blow the chinor, the whole soul should praise to God. And Rabbi Moshe of Kusi really resonates with me. Just count one mitzvah to blow musical instruments in the temple as part of service of God in the temple. That resonates with me so beautifully. That really, makes a lot of sense. And the Rambam, essentially, when he wrote Mishneh Torah, when he wrote his code, he erased a mitzvah of blowing trumpets in the temple that doesn't exist. It exists in his earlier work. By the time he got to his Mishneh Torah, he had erased the mitzvah of trumpeting in the temple. And the only thing that was left is trumpeting in difficult times, except he removed the trumpet and he got to crying in difficult times. So the mitzvah of trumpeting in the temple on holidays became crying in shul at difficult times. There's not even a single word that's the same between the original mitzvah and what we ended up with. Okay. Yeah, so, what's interesting is that there was one view which says that when we have a mitzvah to trumpet, we actually had slightly different methods of trumpeting depending on the situation. But the more the trumpeting is different depending on the situation, the more inclined we would be to say it's two separate mitzvah. Okay, now we've assailed the Rambam yes. Right. So it would be great if there was an event in the Rambam's life or in the Jewish community that the Rambam lived in. It would be great if there was something that I could point to and say the Rambam, changed his mind on the basis of this, that, or the other event. But I'm not familiar with any event. And also, we should note, the Rambam, the order of the Rambam's books is that he wrote the Mishnah commentary first, the Book of Mitzvot second, Mishneh Torah third, and Mor Nevuchim fourth. When we see changes between, say, the Mishnah commentary, what he wrote first, and Mor Nevuchim, which he wrote at the end of his lifetime, and you have works that were written, 40 years apart, it's a lot easier to look at what happened and what might have changed over that period. But the Sefer Mitzvot and the Mishneh Torah are written, I don't know, 5 years apart, 10 years apart. And so it's a lot harder to make an argument of a particular event that might have happened in between that would have led to a change. Okay. Now we have one pile of problem here, which is the Rambam, creating a mitzvah that didn't exist beforehand. And now we're going to press pause on the first pile, and we have a second problem, which is the problem that is raised by the Ramban, Nachmanides. He doesn't raise this problem directly, but he does raise the problem indirectly. Nachmanides says, I know what this idea is to call to God in difficult times, but that's actually what I would call prayer. The Rambam actually isn't bothered that you might take this idea of blowing a trumpet in war and extend that from war to other situations. But the Ramban, Nachmanides, just thinks that that should be a mitzvah of prayer and not a mitzvah of blowing trumpets or the sort. The Rambam basically says that there's a good chance that there's a mitzvah to turn to God in tzarot, in difficult times, and quotes our verses, but then says, don't think that the focus of our verses is trumpeting. The focus of our verses is prayer. And Nachmanides has a fascinating proof for this whole idea of a mitzvah to pray to God in difficult times. And he says, you got to look in Navi, and you have to look at the prayer of Shlomo. When Shlomo dedicates the temple, he gives a long, long speech, which is very beautiful, also very long. And also very repetitive, but it's a very, very beautiful speech. And he basically says that I'm dedicating this temple, and the purpose of this temple is for people to come to God. And this is Malachim Aleph, chapter 8. He basically says if somebody sins, they're going to come to the temple to pray. When there's a war, everyone's going to come to the temple to pray. When there's no rain, everyone's going to come to the temple to pray. When there's a famine, when there is locusts, everyone's going to come to pray. And God, you're going to hear in heaven, and even the non-Jew will come and pray. Again, he says, again, there's going to be a war. They're all going to come and pray. You're going to listen. So Nachmanides says, let's count a mitzvah inspired by the verses of trumpeting, but with the interpretation of Shlomo, and say that there's a mitzvah in difficult times to pray to God to help us from those difficult times. Now, if that's true, you would codify this in the laws of prayer. The Rambam wrote a book about the laws of prayer. I think a few years ago, we actually spent a whole year looking at the Rambam's laws of prayer. And this verse and discussion of this verse and discussion of prayer during war and everything should belong in the Rambam's laws of prayer, and that's what Nachmanides would like to see happen. Okay, now we finally got to the Rambam that with the 35-minute introduction, we finally got to the first Rambam in the laws of fast. Mitzvah aseh min haTorah, there is a biblical mitzvah, lizok, to pray, Uleharia and trumpets, Bachatotro with the trumpets, Al Kot Sarasha Tabola Tibur on any difficult situation. Did you notice the sleight of hand on the Rambam's part? What is the primary way that we fulfill this biblical mitzvah according to the Rambam? The primary way is to pray, lizok, to cry. The Rambam then says there's a secondary way that we can do this, and the secondary way is leharia, to blow the shofar. That's sleight of hand, because the verse that we've been looking at talked about trumpeting. And the Rambam basically says, you know what? The real mitzvah is to pray, and the secondary mitzvah is to blow the trumpet. So I hear what you're saying, and this word lizok is a great word, and the Rambam probably chose it because of its ambiguity almost. Lizok can indicate prayer. It can also indicate a primal scream. Which one did the Rambam have in mind? Well, the more you think the Rambam is focused on the trumpeting verses, the more you're going to say, okay, so you're supposed to blow a trumpet, which is a musical instrument, and people can also give their primal screams, which echoes the trumpet. Alternatively, the Rambam actually means prayer here. And in fact, the Rambam later on mentions locust and pestilence, which he's thinking about Solomon. The only place in the Bible where you're going to get this notion of a communal response to pestilence and locust is in Shlomo. And there, in Shlomo, they were praying. So what does Zeaka mean? Does Zeaka mean primal scream, or does it mean prayer? And maybe the Rambam chose the word Zeaka because he wants to capture that ambiguity. And so he says Zeaka, which means, both or one or the other. It's hard to say. The other sleight of hand that the Rambam did is how he translated the word Hatzar Hatzorer Etchem. So in the Bible it says, V'chitavol mechama ba'artzechem, when a war comes, Al Hatzar Hatzorer Etchem, which I think has to be translated to your enemy, then you should blow the trumpet. The Rambam here didn't translate tsar as your enemy. He translated tsar as kol davar sheyitzar lachem, anything that causes you pain. I don't think that's a fair translation of the verse, but I understand why the Rambam did it. The Rambam is trying desperately to, expand the verses which refer to war and expand them to include all situations of difficulty. And his way of doing that was to take tsar, meaning enemy, and, I don't even know how to say this. I mean, it's not a creative exegesis? So why did he do all of this? These are all things that are so uncharacteristic. There was a mitzvah of trumpeting in his youth that he deleted and replaced it with a mitzvah of, crying in difficult times. He was willing to sacrifice the simple translation of the verse turning tsar, enemy, into tsara, difficult situation, but they're two different roots in biblical Hebrew. He's thinking of Solomon's prayer because he keeps talking about famine and plague and locusts, which he clearly got that from Solomon. But yet, it's still about the trumpeting and not about Solomon. So this is the problem. And if anybody has any suggestion about how to solve the problem, I'd love to hear suggestions because I don't have any good suggestions. And in my reading, I didn't find any good suggestions. So hopefully somebody has a good suggestion to help us out here. Well, if nobody has any good suggestions, I will give my bad suggestion, which I haven't been able to prove, but, you know. Okay, so here's my goal. Here's my theory, which may or may not be true, but I'm going to try. I think that maybe what's going on here is that the Rambam had a desire to localize the institution of Jewish fasting in the Chumash somewhere. I think that fasting is such a major part of the Jewish experience. You know, after all, we fast, you know, six times a year, maybe five times a year. Every year, you know, we fast that number of times every year. And then in addition, we also, you know, we also fast, you know, in specific situations. Fasting is such a critical part of the Jewish experience. And the Rambam did not want to leave it in such a way that fasting would not be something that we could point to a biblical precedent. So I think that the Rambam, what the motivator here was he has to write laws of fasting. You can't write a comprehensive code of Judaism without having laws of fasting. But the Rambam felt that he needed to connect it somehow to a, you know, to a biblical verse. And the only way to do that was to turn this innocent verse of trumpeting in war into a precedent almost for the institution of Jewish fasting. So it could be homiletic. The reason why I'm reluctant to say it's homiletic is because the Rambam is often homiletic at the end of his books. But the start of his books, he's usually much more straight in his presentation. And it's only sort of after the fact that he says, you know what, now that I finished explaining everything to you, I'm going to now give you a homiletic interpretation. At the beginning, things are much more straight. And that's my reason for thinking that maybe he had something else in mind. Now, let me try to, Again, my theory is that there actually was no easier way for the Rambam to do that. The word fasting appears nowhere in the Chumash. And in fact, even Yom Kippur, when we fast, it's te'anu et nafshotechem, and not to fast. And anyway, Yom Kippur is not going to be a good paradigm for fast days, because the fast days are much more sad in nature, whereas Yom Kippur is a holy day. So my theory is that the Rambam is trying to find somewhere to point to, and this is the best place he could find. Let me give you this isn't proof for what I said, but it's at least a half of a proof. The Rambam Mishneh Torah has 14 books of Mishneh Torah, and he has, nearly 100 subsections. Every subsection of the Rambam, with one exception, begins with a mitzvah. For whatever reason, the Rambam, when he was writing his book, there's only one exception, the laws of vessels is not tied into a mitzvah. But outside of that, every single solitary section of laws, the Rambam believes that the Jewish legal system, every category, every subsection of Jewish law, has to be somehow rooted in the flesh. And therefore, the Rambam essentially is saying, if fasts are part of Judaism, if fast days are a major part of what we're trying to accomplish religiously, I must find something in the Chumash which this sort of finds as it, where this originates from. And if I can't, I shouldn't count it as a subsection of Judaism. And unless somebody can come up with a better source in the Chumash, I think that the Rambam is right. This is the best source to have for laws of fasting. And therefore, this is why this became, that's why the Rambam treats this way. Right, so that's an important point, and that's where I was headed next, which is, when we think about fasting, most people would begin the laws of fasting with something like, on X number of days in the Jewish calendar, we fast. The Rambam didn't do that. He did not begin with, on these days in the Jewish calendar, we fast. But that's important because he's showing you that the laws of fasting are not really laws of fasts. They're really laws of a Jew's response to a tragic situation. And as we'll get to, I guess, probably next week, the Rambam doesn't start off with, we fast on these days, and this is what happens in a fast. The Rambam starts off with, the reason why a Jew fasts is because a Jew is supposed to process tragedy, or if not tragedy, difficult scenarios in a particular way. And this is how we process these scenarios. We cry, we trumpet, and also that's where the fast comes from. So there's a philosophical implication of all this, which is, by localizing fasts in this verse in Parashat Baalotra, you've also changed the nature of what the fast is about. Now, Rabbi Moshe, the aforementioned Rabbi Moshe Fussi, who, as I said, chose to codify the laws of the laws of trumpeting, and limit the laws of trumpeting to only only the context of the temple, is forced to have a section called the Laws of Tisha B'Av.
which begins with, these are the days that we fast. So Moshe of Kusi is sort of giving you the counterexample, which is, you just have laws of fast, which begin with the words, and by the way, when we fast, these are the days that we fast. But the Rambam says, no, the fast day is not about the fasting. The fast day is about the prayer. And since the fast day is about the prayer, we're going to localize it, and we're going to connect it to the verses in Bamidbar, and not in Balotcha, and not on anything else. Now, one other intriguing point of contrast is to contrast the way the Rambam has his laws of fast with the Talmud. So let me try to bring up the Talmud. I don't know how I'm going to get that. One second. Do you all still see the source sheet, or do you see my new screen here? Still see, okay, so I have to figure out how to switch this. Okay. So new share. Okay. So now you see the new text. Did that work? Yeah. Okay. So the Mishnah, when it describes fast days, it begins with, when do we start praying for rain? And, you know, there's a whole discussion about when do we mention rain? And then there's a whole mention of when do we stop mentioning rain? And the day that we choose to start praying for rain. And then there was no rain here. And then they start fasting. And then there's no more rain. And they fast some more. And then they fast some more because there's no more rain. And then there's more days. And then there's no rain. The Mishnah, in describing the fast days, really, treated it as part of the calendar almost. And the Mishnah's approach was, okay, you know what? When this happens, we fast. When this happens, we fast. It's missing this introduction that the Rambam has, which says, I need to explain to you, fasts are important for this reason. Fasts relate to our faith for this reason. They resonate in this way. And that's totally missing from the Mishnah. So the Rambam's, though the Rambam's decision to read the Tanakh the way that he did is revolutionary, and I confess, for me personally, somewhat unsettling. However, the net outcome is radically different from the Mishnah. When you read the Mishnah never even begins with, this is why a Jew fasts. But for the Rambam, it begins really where it should begin with,